just ask yourself, what is one area where I'm frustrated with people right now, where I think they don't get it, they're not taking my help, or they don't know how to do these things?
You're listening to the world's best business podcast with Steli Efti and Heaton Shaw, who insisted on having Steli's name mentioned first, despite him having more Twitter followers.
Shut up!
If you're an entrepreneur who wants to get shit done, stop everything else and focus on this podcast for the next 20 minutes. Then go back to work and crush it.
All right. Here's what we're going to talk about today. Today, what we want to talk about is, and we need to figure out the title as we go along, a good title for this, but it's basically how as a founder or an authority figure, whatever it is, if you're an executive at the startup, if you're the founder, if you have any kind of authority over the people that you communicate with, having self-awareness on how your word is impacting people and how your word is measured differently, carries different weight, and has different impact, maybe than even you're aware of. And one of the reasons we brought this up in a prior episode we did about founder drive-bys, which is awesome. And we said, yes, let's talk about this in another podcast. And one of the reasons why I want to talk about this is that I struggle with this. And then I want to know how you think about this, and let's like unpack this topic together. One thing that's really difficult for me to figure out is, I have a challenge being completely self-aware of, is that my word weighs more in certain situations than other people's. And I'm not as careful about my word. So I'll say I might be hypocritical, or I might be cynical, or I might make a joke that my framework is we're all equal. So when I talk to people, it doesn't matter if you're the intern or not, we're equal. But we're not equal, and especially not to that intern, right? Like my joke about them and their life, or my critical comment, or my whatever it is that I say is not, they don't have the proper context to go, we're just all a bunch of friends working together. And another situation where this is coming up is I'll talk to people sometimes and they won't be as open to me as I'd like them to be. And you know, I'll prompt them and I'll ask, what can I do better? What's the problem? What's a challenge? And they won't tell me. And then I'll hear about it from somebody else, which typically pisses me off. Because I'm like, I had a conversation with you. Why didn't you just tell me? And then I hear consistently from the people that tell me, yeah, but he was just intimidated. And I go, intimidated by what?
By that.
By you. Yeah.
I saw your face. What you did.
Shut up. No, but they're like, you don't get that people are really fucking intimidated by you. You're an intimidating guy. I'm like, I'm the most friendly. Just talk to me honestly.
That's what you believe
about yourself. Yes, but it's not what people perceive of me. So this is a struggle that I have, that I see myself differently than others see myself. And I think that I do harm by that, although I don't mean harm by it, right? So what are your comments on this first?
He leans back, looks down, very introspectively, you know, searching for the right words.
I don't think you're making it enough about the other person.
Yeah. Okay.
Let's talk about it. Boils down to. I think if you're, and I know you don't mean to, so it's just like, it's kind of back to like how I like to give advice, which is I'll get context. So if I just focus on understanding the situation, the person, the thing, and even wasting time doing that, then generally I'm able to lower the nervousness from the other person if that's what's happening, lower the authority I have, help them understand I'm just like them. That's basically what it boils down to. That's what I do.
All right. So that's fair. I'm trying to think about like, am I not spending enough time caring about them, where they're coming from? Yeah. That's probably a part of this. When it comes to vulnerability, I think I'm pretty good at that. Like, I'm not pretending to be
great. But they won't tell you. So vulnerability.
No, I'm saying many conversations, I'll try to make myself very vulnerable. Like, I will say, I don't know what we're fucking up. I'm not sure about things. I'm vulnerable.
Oh, this is easy. Okay, look.
There you go.
A lot of people have worked in environments where people will say that, but it won't mean that. And even if it's not working, they have relationships that are the opposite of that. Mm-hmm. So when you say it, if they don't know you or understand how you think about things, then they won't understand what you're saying. It's like you know, earlier you said, you know, you asked me when we started this podcast, you know, you said we were having coffee and you're like, oh, let's do this podcast. I'm like, and I was like, I'll do whatever you say.
Yeah.
Right. And you didn't believe me.
Yeah.
But we didn't know each other well enough. Because if you knew me, you'd be like, oh, that's a very positive signal. Because I don't say stuff like that.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So for me, yeah.
So that's what's happening. Right. Yeah. So I think, I feel like that's happening a lot. Like that's just what happens and you don't realize it. You're just not aware of just that context.
Yeah.
Right. I come in trying to be aware of that.
Yeah.
But not like in a, I'm actually not very, you won't hear me say those things.
Like what things?
Like any of the stuff you were saying where you're qualifying it or you're saying all these things that someone might not believe.
Yeah.
So I know this needs unpacking, but it's.
So I mean, I agree that, yeah. I mean, more than saying these things, you need to demonstrate them, right? So do you demonstrate vulnerability? Do you fail in front of people? When people are critical to you in front of other people, like these things will communicate more than you saying, I'm totally open for negative feedback. Like that's
one thing.
I don't
say that. But I make people feel like that.
Yes. But how do you do that other than just demonstrating it? Like when I've never worked for you and it's my first day and you're fucking heating, you know, boom, boom, man shot, right?
Sure.
See that, but that reaction is the problem. Sure. No. The facial expression I have right
actually,
now.
Actually, it's the solution.
No. Like, let's talk about
it. Let me point it out.
Okay.
Let me tell you what I mean.
Let me first tell people what the facial expression was.
Yeah.
They're not here.
Go for it.
It's a yeah, sure, fuck you. I'm not that important. I'm not that.
Yeah.
It's like pushing away the compliment or my praise or whatever I just did. All right. So why is that the solution? And I'll tell you a little bit why I thought that might be the problem.
For me, it's a solution because it. But that's only a solution if they start like that. Some people literally start like that. So then I give them that look that you just saw, and then they stop because I need them to stop thinking that.
Yes.
So if I don't believe it,
yes,
then they won't believe it. This is why I do that, and it's very deliberate when I do it. And it's partly like it's my natural reaction, right? It's like, okay, and?
Yeah.
Right? Like, that's what I want to say to them. I'm like, okay, I'm Heaton Shaw, and you are a human being too. What's your name? Right? But like, I basically get through all, so I try to cut through all that and be like, look, like, I usually don't have to do more than what I just did, and then they stop.
See, the reason, so I get that
but
because.
But they're not intimidated.
No, listen. Okay. I get it because my reaction is exactly the same.
Yeah.
Like when people try to say anything nice about me, I impulsively need to reject it. Like I'm like, no, I'm not that great. No. I don't want that. But I'm wondering if that's part of the problem because what I'm doing, I mean, one thing is to be humble and be like, I'm just a fucking person. I'm nothing special. Like, and it's good to be humble and grounded. But the other thing is not understanding that, that we can't instantly be equal because you can't perceive yourself as equal to me. Now, I might respect you as equal, but I need to be aware that there's a certain dynamic that we have and I can't just push it away.
So the easy thing is just say thank you.
Yes.
That works every time too.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. That's actually something that's so interesting that you say that just because it's one of the challenges. One of the things I'm practicing and I'm still failing about like 50% of the time that I'm trying to, when people say nice things, just to say thank you. And
that's actually
just leave it.
When I learned that and I started doing it, I just don't do anything else. So if I get a compliment, I'll say thank you because they need the acceptance of it.
Yeah.
And then I might give them that look.
Yes. So I'm still half of the time I'm able to pull it off and half of the time I just respond impulsively and I can't just say thank you to the compliment.
Yeah.
But it's just outright rejecting of whatever the person is saying coming into the relationship, that partially I think makes for me saying, I don't accept the premise of our relationship and the dynamic here. I think we're equal.
Yeah.
So I'm going to talk to you as if we're equal, although you won't perceive my words as if we're equal. So maybe I need to be a bit more careful about the way I communicate.
Yeah, I mean, obviously being conscious of the weight of what you're saying, whether it's a founder, a manager, but like, I just go back to the context of the person. Right, that it's likely that in a company relationship, if you're a founder, you're somehow paying their bills.
Yeah,
you can fire them.
Yeah,
you can impact their lives in ways that they cannot impact yours.
Yes,
right. And I think it's just a conscious understanding of that. So then you almost have a reverse respect. That's the way I look at it.
Hmm.
So I'm going to say this in a crude way, but I don't mean it like that. I treat other people like I would treat a waiter in a restaurant, right? And I don't mean that like. They're serving me or anything. I don't look at it like that. It's more like, how do you set an equal footing with that person, right? So I've got a really weird example, okay?
All right.
It's a really weird one.
Good.
I go to Taco Bell maybe like once every month, right?
Horrible.
And yeah, horrible, right? I'll go there and I'll go through the drive-thru specifically, right? I'll go through the drive-thru and I see the same person because it's about at the same time, roughly the same day, right? And I'll go through the drive-thru. And I went through the drive-thru recently and I love spicy food, mm-hmm. right? And I ordered something spicy, but the guy knows that. And they have like the spicy sauce now. And like, I think he's seen me there, right? Mm-hmm. But I treat him in such a way, you can't give a tip at Taco Bell. It's not designed like that. Yeah. So I can't do my normal thing, which is just like tip them so they know that like, you know.
You appreciate it.
Yeah, I appreciate it, right? Because that's an easy signal.
Yeah.
Forget the rest of it, right? I had jalapenos that I didn't ask for. I had like extra jalapenos I didn't ask for. I had more sauce than, you know, I normally would get. And the person just somehow understood that I had a respect for them. And all it was I said thank you about three times. And then he's seen me, same car, same person, ordering similar things, saying thank you three times to the person, right? And over time, like I see the smile on his face now. And I didn't realize it, right, the last time. But now that I think about it, that's what happened. So I kind of built an equal footing. And this is someone who's at a drive-thru at a Taco Bell. But I feel uncomfortable in those situations. That's why I say thank you so much.
Hmm.
But that's just something I have. Like, I don't like people serving. It's really weird. Hotels like that are weird to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fancy stuff is weird to me. But I'm down. Like, don't get me wrong. I get it.
Totally
get it. But I just can't handle it like that. So for me, a lot of that stuff, I think, either comes naturally or it's just this idea that, like, yeah, I'm paying you money or whatever, but like that doesn't mean anything.
But right? so far, what blows my mind, so far, almost everything you say is matching to my behavior.
Yeah.
The one thing that you're saying, which makes me, that I need to like research and look at more is how much time do I spend on really fully understanding somebody's context?
Yeah.
Maybe that's the missing link, but everything else you say seems like, sounds like, at least to me, subjectively, like the way that I think about or feel about things.
So tactically, I think you're obviously going to do those things,
yeah.
right? You, we're very similar.
Yeah.
I think strategically, the ethos of getting the context first makes you do all those things better for that person and that experience,
yeah.
right? I think that's the difference,
yeah.
right? For me, I'm just naturally thinking more like about the person and about the context because I know if I don't have their context, I can't impact their world as much as I'd like to,
yeah.
right? And so it's almost like a reversal in the sense that, oh, I have authority, great, but I only have authority to help you. And that's kind of another framework. So sometimes it's like if I know that the context of the conversation is that I can give them advice or offer them some help or something, it'll be – and then they start saying, oh, I've seen you on the internet, blah, blah, blah. I just say, thank you. How can I help you right now?
Mm.
And then that also shifts them to start thinking about that's my trick to get their context.
Right. So let's talk about some other situations.
Sure.
I mean, one of the situations that kind of related to this this is probably a podcast we're going to release before this one. So you're going to be able to look back at it is the founder drive-bys, which is like you as a founder impulsively going to one team member and then just telling them like whatever is on your mind.
And disrupting their tasks.
Completely disrupt their task, their day.
Yep.
Because I mean, it's disruptive anyways, but when it comes from an authority figure like a founder, it might completely fuck with somebody's mind.
Yes.
So being aware that when you bring up ideas or if you bring up topics, maybe even as a founder, if you come into the team meeting and you're like just – this is, I think, something a lot of founders learn, for better or worse, is like when you're stressed or afraid or in panic or in some kind of a negative mood. You can't just
don't
be
talk
like,
to people.
You just don't talk. Just shut the fuck up, right? You can't come into your team and go, oh my God, I think we're not going to raise our Series A. Like, that's not a good idea.
So I have another angle on this that I just thought of, which has to do with context. So in the drive-bys, right? Those kind of drive-bys are natural when a company is young and there's very few people. I know we talked about it in the last podcast, but basically when you're small, going and walking up to a team member and talking to them about something feels natural and you do it. And then as you get bigger, it doesn't scale. And then they're called drive-bys, the way I put it, right? Yeah. But the I think the big thing about that is early on, you had the context of the other person and everything they were working on. Later on, they are more removed from you and your understanding of what they're doing
than
early, right?
Yeah.
So all it is, it's still a context problem. You don't understand their context. So when you talk to them about some features, some things, some ideas, some improvements, some change, some thing, whatever, you don't actually know what they're working on right now. So it's actually not contextually relevant to them. So you saying it ends up looking impulsive, being impulsive.
Yeah.
Even though your intention might not even be like that.
Yeah.
So I think it's the context of knowing what the person's about, what the person's working on, what's important to the person right now, and making sure if you're going to disrupt it, you're deliberately disrupting.
Yeah, this is probably a really good one for me at least, because I think on top of just at some point when you're in a team, assuming that people have context, because at the beginning, it's still the majority that has. It's just this
everybody
new,
knows everything.
Yeah, and then it's just one new person, but still the majority seems to have context. And then it's two new people. Yeah.
And
it's
it ends easy. Up not being the majority eventually, right?
Yes, yeah. But it's easy to because these people are in a minority, to not think about them.
Yeah, that's right.
In different terms. I think that's one part of the issue. The other part of the issue for me, even like compounding that, is that I put myself out there so much every day that I just assume that when you interact with me, you know some stuff from me. You know me. You've seen my fucking shit. I mean, not saying that if I'm at a drive-by at McDonald's, I'm going to be like, this person knows who I am. Yeah, yeah. They don't, yeah, right? Yeah. Nobody fucking knows. Yeah. It's actually one thing that I try to do to keep myself humble is I'm invited to keynote at conferences. And I always start with, I learned this from Gary Vaynerchuk, going, who here doesn't know who the fuck I am?
Yeah.
And I'm surprised how the majority of people in all rooms at all times don't know who the fuck
that's
I
right.
am. Right.
Yeah.
And it's a good way to go. Still, most humans don't know who the fuck I am. Right. And I watch somebody like Gary, who's a million times more famous and has done more awesome things, say the same thing or whatever. And still
like 10 or 100.
Let's see. Well,